This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Here's what we're going to do, college football. We're going to ride the wave of that great Week 7, Michael Lombardi, into a chaos here, Week 8, as we welcome you in. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, the big guy. Michael Lombardi on the throne there.
Back
at the
in
Borgata.
The City of Champions. I'm in the City of Champions. They haven't been crowned officially, but I am in the City of Champions. It's so good to be here, Patrick. Yes.
It is great to see you, and I will warn everybody, the big guy is fired up today. And I will say this, another big week of ranked matchups, but think about this. The theme coming into the season was the big three. Ohio State, of course, Alabama, and Georgia. Just like sports always, this is how it always plays out, right? Think about the college football playoff. Still wide open. Ole Miss is in the mix. Tennessee's in the mix. As a matter of fact, Ole Miss and Tennessee could meet up in the SEC championship game. UCLA's in the mix for the college football playoff. TCU is in the mix. Syracuse is in the mix. Like, this is wide open, Michael.
It really is, and it's going to, you know, obviously at noon today we got a great game with Syracuse and Clemson. We'll find out, you know, how good Syracuse is. We'll find out how good Clemson is, you know, and, you know, Michigan's still in it. I mean, Michigan, I thought that was an impressive win against Penn State. We are, you know, we're not exactly is what we'll say here, but, you know, I think the Tennessee team is still undervalued. I really think they're undervalued. I know that was a game that was going back and forth against Alabama, and Alabama mismanaged the clock at the end of the game. But that offense is, you know, Nick Saban's still complaining. I was talking to a scout that was at Alabama this week, and, you know, they went up, and Nick was talking about it and how challenging it is to play that offense. And as I've said on this program, for Nick, what makes it so hard is he can't adjust his calls to the Tennessee offense. He can't be in the right defense or disguise his calls. And that makes Tennessee very dangerous. And if Nick Saban, you know, as great a coach as he is, I know probably Amal doesn't feel that way, but he is a great coach in terms of X's and O's, you know, he can't figure that out. I don't think a lot of other college guys can.
Well, how about this? So Bama takes on that high-powered, stretch-the-field, tempo pass attack of Tennessee. You turn around this week, a relentless Mississippi State pass attack coming to Tuscaloosa. Alabama's laying 21. However, Alabama and Nick Saban, Mike Leach is 2 years there at Mississippi State. Alabama's outscored Mississippi State 90-9 with two losses by Mississippi State. But this is a little bit of a different team here for Mike Leach. Again, it's 21. It opened 21.5, so bet down a little bit. It's a nice little matchup.
You know, but here's the difference, and it's a subtle difference for us as bettors, right, and a betting network to understand the complexities of the differences between Mississippi State and what Mike Leach does and what Josh Heupel does at Tennessee, right? So Mike is more of the old run and shoot, okay? Mike is more of that vein where Nick can line up in his five-man box or his six-man box and defend the run and disguise the coverage and play around with it to get Mississippi State to run the ball in a certain way based on a front and a look, and then be able to roll the coverage into it. With Tennessee, he can't do that because of the splits of the receivers. When those receivers line up a yard from the sideline, you know, it's hard to do anything defensively. And so it becomes a little more problematic for him to disguise and check his calls. He has success against Mississippi State because it's more of the run and shoot. It's more of 1994 when we were all playing against the run and shoot in the Houston Oilers back in the day, which he was very good at defending when he was a defense coordinator in the league. So I think that's why he's had so much success, and I think that success will continue today.
Did we get an early Mouse Davis shout-out on the show, on the Lombardi Line this morning?
Well,
shout-out to
Mouse Davis. The evolution of this offense, right? We are all spread now, and we get caught up in this RPO stuff. But really, football is not a complicated game. It's about how many do you have in the box, how many can they block, and how can I get an extra man, and how can I get an extra half man. And the way Tennessee spreads you out, it forces you to line up places you don't want to line up, and it makes it challenging to disguise. Everything about football lies in the disguise of the coverage. So the quarterback's a little uncertain when he gets the ball. And when Nick can't disguise, he loses a lot of his effectiveness as a coach.
That is a beleaguered secondary for Bama right now, but you nailed it. Mississippi State, they're not going to stretch the field like Tennessee, but Will Rogers is averaging 46 pass attempts a game. Here's the thing about Alabama, and you know Nick Saban, so you know this is going to frustrate him. Only 14 FBS teams have fumbled the ball more than Bama this year. Bama's got 11 fumbles. That is completely unacceptable for Saban.
Yeah, you know, and look, the attention, the detail in their offense has been disappointing. And I don't know. We talk about all how great they are on defense. I'm not sure they're great on defense. I mean, remember, Texas A&M, as bad as they are on offense, with, you know, they're throwing the ball into the end zone to win the game. I mean, think about that, Patrick, at home. You know, and I know they played a backup quarterback. And look, I was on your man, Christopher Russo, Mad Dog, and we had a conversation about Bryce Young ultimately being the first pick in the draft. But, you know, Russo's already given him the first pick of the draft. I'm not so sure of that because of his size. And I think this is a really talented collegiate player. And when he's out there, he does some really unique things. But his size is a worry. And can he withstand it? And I think Mississippi State's going to have to really put pressure on him if they want to hold him back.
It's funny you say that about – I want to ask you about the quarterbacks, but it's funny you say that about Bama's defense because there's two defenses. Obviously, Georgia's over here by themselves, but there's two defenses. You know, that Clemson defense was being compared to some of the greats coming into the season. And yes, I know Clemson has been banged up, and they're getting healthier along that front seven. But Clemson's defense doesn't terrify me like the expectations said they would. And Alabama's defense hasn't been absolutely, you know, Will Anderson, obviously a great linebacker, but Alabama's defense, especially in the secondary, they can't stop the pass. They're beleaguered.
I mean, look, their passing defense ranks 32nd in the nation. I mean, think about that, Patrick, right?
Saban he's literally a second. That's his specialty is the secondary.
That's exactly right. And we can all this talk about Will Anderson being the next Lawrence Taylor. I got to be honest. I've watched him every game. I'm like, Will, show me where this is. I haven't seen it yet. Like, I feel like there's a lot of perception going on with this defense. When you really peel it back, you know, they're 20th in total defense. They're 32nd in pass defense. You know, they're 122nd in turnovers gained. Think about that. 122nd in turnovers gained. No, of course not, because they turn it over on offense, but they're not creating turnovers on defense. I think we have gotten to the point where Alabama's great. If you're great on defense – and I know Tennessee's a great offensive team. Pitt played Tennessee better defensively than Alabama did. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
I think they're not as great defensively as we want to make them out to be. And I think in week 8 of the college football season, week 7 of the NFL season, we have to stop the perceptions and the conclusions that we have drawn that we think are true. Kyler Murray's a great player. No, he's not. Okay, like we have to stop the – we've got enough data to form new evidence and to form new things in there.
You know, it's interesting too. You talked about the quarterbacks. So I don't know how you describe Young. I say sinewy because whether he's 6'1", which he's listed, I don't think he's that tall, and he's very skinny.
I was talking to a scout there yesterday, and the scout told me, you know, 5'10". Scout asked me this question, because he knows I'm old. He said, what did Doug Flutie look like in college? And I'm like, well, you know, Doug didn't play. We weren't a shotgun. Shotgun wasn't in vogue then, right? You know, we weren't RPO. I mean, Doug looked little out there. And Doug looked like, you know, he could make plays. And he said, this guy's really little. Like, when you go out there, he's small. I mean, and it's small, frail, too. It's not he's big either. Like, and this is a team that needs a quarterback, right? This is a team that wants to draft a quarterback. And it's like, wait a minute. How do you put a first-round grade on this guy? He's first-round production, don't get me wrong. That's not disputable. This guy's great. When his mama lifts him from a crib, he is a quarterback. There's no denying that. But in terms of his genetic makeup, boy, it's scary.
Yeah, like you said, the instincts are there, and he's a dynamic passer. His arm strength is legit, but he is listed 6 foot. You go under that, at least 5'11", and he is skinny, so he's going to have to bulk up. But again, you know, there's going to be a quarterback taken first. Is it C.J. Stroud? Is it Bryce Young? Is it Will Levis?
Russo doesn't want to take Stroud. I don't know if it's Stroud or not, you know, But, I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of conversations about that. I hope Anthony Richardson goes back to Florida and doesn't come out because he needs another year. And if he seasons his career, because he's got the most talent of all these guys. He doesn't play the best by no means, but he's got the most talent. I mean, this is a big man who's extremely fast. He's got Cam Newton-like skill set, but he doesn't throw the ball with accuracy. He doesn't throw the ball with – I mean, there's a lot of things he needs to work on. I compare him to Lamar Jackson when Lamar was a sophomore, and I was watching him and screaming to my son Matthew, put the other kid in and let's win the game, right? You know, just put the other kid in so we can win the game and execute the offense. That's what – when I watch Florida, there's some times where Richardson disappoints me, but I hope he goes back. But I think it's hard. I don't know what Levis is going to do at Kentucky. You know, there's the North Carolina State kid. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that – but to play quarterback in the NFL, you got to have size and the ability to handle the power.
Speaking of Florida and Anthony Richardson, they lost last week to LSU. LSU, an SEC West showdown, Michael Lombardi. How about Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin? They're 7-0 for the first time since 1962. They're the only undefeated team in the SEC West, so they control their fate. They're headed to LSU, Death Valley. If you can predict LSU this year, they were great against Mississippi State. They were great against Florida. They barely beat Auburn. They were a no-show against Tennessee. If you can predict LSU, let's come back and discuss this game. Ole Miss 7, LSU unranked, but a team that is ultimately dangerous. And this number flipped. This number opened Ole Miss a 2-point favorite. Take a look at your board right now. LSU's laying 1.5. It's a little surprising on the flip there.
I am too, because I think LSU is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but I'm not sure Mississippi is as good as advertised. I mean, that Mississippi State game was fortunate and very lucky for Mississippi.
They can run the football.
I mean, I'm sorry, it was the Kentucky game, not the Mississippi
Kentucky
State
game. Exactly right. They can run the football, Ole Miss, no doubt. Syracuse Clemson as well coming up. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, ExpressBet, VSiN.com/horses. We love them. Remember, when you use the promo code HORSE200, you're going to get $10 instantly to bet, and then you get a match up to $200. So, again, you deposit $200, they give you $200 paid for in free bets. And here are today's top horse racing plays from ExpressBet handicapper Jeff Siegel in race 7 on the Belmont card. He likes the 6, Be Better, at 6-1. Nice little price there. At Belmont, at Santa Anita in the third race, Jeff has the 3-horse Running With Boys at a juicy 10-1. Wow, good prices today from Siegel. Bet those races and more at First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Again, $10 free when you sign up, and then when you use the code HORSE200, you get the $10 plus 100% match on your first deposit up to $200. It's great. Make sure you check it out. AI assisted picks, 300 tracks covered. VSiN.com/horses for more information. That's VSiN.com/horses for more info. We're back. Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Week 8 in college football. You know, just to kind of recap where we started with the show, the theme was consistently Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. Really, the conversation was, who's your fourth team? Well, we've got like 7 of them. You mentioned Michigan, which I neglected, UCLA, TCU, Ole Miss, which we'll get to in a second, Tennessee. Tennessee boat raced Alabama. I want to get your thoughts on that matchup. You know, it just shows you what a head coach can do, not just with Heupel and his offense and the tempo and Hendon Hooker, the transfer from Virginia Tech, but the culture. You know, so much had been turned upside down there in Knoxville, and Heupel's come in and settled it down, and they didn't look like they didn't belong on the field. As I just mentioned, they boat raced Alabama, but there was a belief there on the field.
Oh, no doubt, and I mean, they can get – and no team – I thought that was the perfect example of a game where no team really had control of the game, right? Alabama was in the lead, but they weren't in control. Tennessee was in the lead, they weren't in control. It was a back-and-forth game. And Alabama let it slip away, missed the field goal, but also left way too much time on the clock. It was coaching 101, and I'm sure Nick's going to kick himself. But, you know, when Nick can't get control of the game defensively, that's an issue. And we were talking during the break, if I were to say to you, who has a better defense, Syracuse or Alabama, you know, nobody would pick Syracuse. No one would pick Syracuse. And yet Syracuse is the 6th best scoring defense in college football, right? I mean, they're the 9th They're the eighth best relative defense in college football. I mean, they have played really well defensively. I understand they played Wagner. They played some duds, but so has Alabama. But, I mean, and I know Alabama's the difference is the level of cop. And we'll find out how good Syracuse defense is today. But to me, that's the most surprising thing. When you mention those three schools, Ohio State, Georgia, I think there might be a gap between Alabama and the next one. I really do, just because the perception of the defense of Alabama isn't what the reality is of the defense.
And before Berman and Alabama fans get upset with me over the term boat race, when you pass for 455 yards against a Bama secondary and a Nick Saban secondary, that's what I meant by boat race. They were doing what they wanted on offense.
I mean, in fact, Berman's been saying this for a while. I mean, he's been the one who's been saying, like, at some point, when does Will Anderson show he's the greatest player in college football? You know, like, and I kind of agreed with him. I'm like, I'm watching him, and, like, he's brought my attention to it, you know. Whereas I think you have to take – look, I think the best way to really handicap, the best way to evaluate is take a negative approach first and be convinced the opposite, right? If you take the positive and you just sit there and let the – and you sit there and say, wait a minute, you know. Like, that's what people do with Justin Fields. Well, he's going to be good. And then you make excuses why he's not. Russell Wilson, how many excuses do we hear it was they weren't letting him cook up there? It was the offensive coordinator. It was this. It was that. Now he's in Denver. We're still trying to make excuses for him. I was on Denver radio yesterday, and they said, well, you know, I just feel like the Denver radio – I feel like Russell's not running – wait a minute. He's been born and raised in the West Coast. He's running the West Coast. Like, what offense would you like to run? We'll get the shrimp boat guy over here to find out what offense we should run. Like, he's handling coverages. He might as well handle offense, too.
Wait, hold on. Denver radio and Denver fans are still carrying the bag for Russell Wilson? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. I mean, what's most everybody does. You know, it's like, okay, so when you ask the question, what offense do you want them to run? They can't answer that, you know. I mean, like when the guy says Nick Saban's coverages are bad. Well, what? Teach me some coverages, please. I don't know coverages. Why don't you teach me? If you're so brilliant to critique Nick Saban's coverages, why don't you teach me some coverages? I mean, while you're out there shrimping for shrimp, you can spend some time talking to me about it.
Who is the shrimp guy? You keep bringing it up.
It's a long story. Okay. It's a long story. But he's a character in a whole novel that we're going to write one day.
You got a noon kickoff at Clemson. Syracuse is for real, Michael. Let's discuss this team. Dino Babers, this is year 7. I've always loved betting and backing Dino Babers back to his, what was it, Northern Illinois. He's been a good coach.
Wasn't it Bowling Green? Was he Bowling Green?
It was Bowling Green, but then he went to somewhere after Bowling Green before he went to Syracuse. Look that up for me, Bon. It might have been Northern Illinois. Maybe I got my schools mixed up. Eastern Illinois, one of the two.
Yeah.
One
of those directional schools somewhere, you know.
Here's the thing about Babers. He finally got his quarterback, and he finally got his offensive coordinator. Remember, when Bronco Mendenhall stepped down at Virginia, Babers went and poached Anae. This guy's a tremendous offensive coordinator.
Really good.
That combined with Garrett Schrader, who's averaging, you know, 10 yards per pass attempt. He's a tremendous runner of the football, the quarterback there. And then also, speaking of runners, Sean Tucker, an All-American running back for Syracuse. This is a run-heavy offense. You know, it's essentially run with the quarterback, run with the running back, or throw to the tight end. And they've been very efficient on offense, the Syracuse team.
Yeah, I mean, and look, they've done a great job of calling the game, too. You know, like when I watched them play against Purdue earlier in the season, that was a back-and-forth game. I thought they called it. They made great calls at critical times. I thought the coordinator was really good. And then I was surprised, Patrick, how good they were on defense. You know, I know that Purdue scored 29 on them. That's the most anybody scored. But their defense has been able to get – I mean, North Carolina State – now, I know North Carolina State didn't have their starting quarterback last week, but they held them to 9 points. I mean, they controlled that game. They controlled that game from start to finish. And, look, and Tommy DeVito, who I thought was the downfall of Syracuse, he's over at Illinois winning games for them.
He's balling.
He's balling.
Do you know what the season win total? One thing quickly about the defenses, and I think you nailed it, because the one thing about this stingy Syracuse defense is they limit red zone scores. Conversely, you get in the red zone against Clemson, you know, teams have converted 18 of 22 attempts in the red zone. What happens once you get into the red zone against Syracuse is the inverse. They don't let you get in there. By the way, do you know what the season win total was set in the summer for Syracuse? They're 6-0 right now.
Five. They had Wagner and they had Connecticut, so, you know, and then I figure five, right?
They've already eclipsed their season win total, and we're sitting week eight. So let's talk about the matchup. The number right now, Clemson's laying 14. You got a total of 50, an opener of 51. That's a low total for these two. Clemson, we have to give props to Uiagalelei. DJ's played well, bounced back, lost some weight this year, 17 touchdowns, two picks, Michael.
Yeah, and that's what you just said there is the key, right? They're 11th in the nation in terms of protecting the football, right? And that's critical. They're not as flashy as they once were with ATN and Trevor Lawrence and all those guys, but they protect the ball, they run the ball, they've played smart. You know, Wake Forest was able to score on them, but they were able to match Wake Forest as they went forward. This is a little different here because what you made a very key point. One of the key numbers that you look at after games is red zone trips and red zone percentage of scores allowed. And this is where Syracuse has been very good this year. Syracuse is the seventh best team in the nation in percentage of points allowed in the red zone. That's impressive.
Tremendous.
That's really impressive, right? And this is where they have been able to, when you look at it, and when you look at it, the number one team in the nation, the number one team in the nation in red zone scoring, Clemson.
Strength on strength. Is that what you're telling me,
yep.
Big guy? Strength
That's
on
exactly
strength.
That's exactly right.
Here.
And that's what we're going to find out, and that's why I know the under's coming down because people see how good Syracuse has been on defense and all that. But I think, to me, this is strength on strength, and we're going to find out today who's stronger. Syracuse always has had a tough time down in Clemson. They've always had a tough time down there, and so we'll find out. You know, to me, this is the trip, and, you know, I think they've got to control the pace of the game. And their play caller, as you mentioned, the offensive coordinator for Syracuse, has done a good job of controlling the pace of the game.
So here's what I will say. I think Syracuse is legit. I think 14 is too much. Yes, we've talked about with Bond the struggles Syracuse down at Clemson. Remember that 2017 upset was up at Syracuse. And the defense there at Clemson, I get that they're getting healthy, mostly across the front seven. But I think Syracuse is legit. I think they're going to be able to control the time of possession. I think they're going to be able to control, run the football with Tucker, with Schrader, throwing the football to that tight end, which doesn't, everything you throw to him, he catches. I really think they're going to be in the mix here. I like the 14 in Syracuse catching it down at Clemson.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the more I think about the game, as good as the teams are defensively, I do think the over might be a little bit at 50 right now.
It's funny you say that.
It might be a game.
Bond and I had that over projected right around 57.5, 58, and it's sitting 50 right now. So you're going over the total. Okay. Ole Miss LSU is next. Again, Lombardi Line on a Saturday.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, you'll constantly hear Michael reference the betting splits. Well, when you become a VSiN Pro, VSiN.com/subscribe, you get the betting splits. And Steve Mackinnon wrote a great article yesterday at VSiN.com, how to use betting splits to profit, whether it's college football, basketball, professional football. It's a great deal, and it's part of the subscriber benefits when you become a VSiN Pro. You're also going to get the pro picks, so if you don't want to do the work handicapping, we'll do it for you. Pro tips, which there's more than 20 a day here on VSiN. Make sure you check it out. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Become a VSiN Pro. They're making cash, and it's only $99 through the Super Bowl. So make sure you check it out right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we're back here on a big week eight. We've got our boy Chick Jack Johnson from the Bayou joining us in just a little bit here, Michael Lombardi. What was the buzz? I know you were talking to Thomas Gable before the show got underway. What's the buzz
all
there
baseball
at the Borgata? Is there Well, give it to me.
All baseball. I mean, like, the difference between the Borgata and the Beau Rivage is, you know, the location, right? That's Southeast Conference territory. Here, you know, we're not a college football vet. I mean, Penn State is the dominant team in this area. Rutgers, they can't play it here in the book because of the laws of the state of New Jersey. So last night it was all baseball. It was the Phillies, obviously, were on. I mean, you know, it was everywhere you went. I mean, I saw more Phillies caps last night when I was out than I probably seen at a Phillies game. You know, everybody had a Phillies cap, a Phillies shirt on. I mean, I just saw a homeless guy begging for money, and he's got a brand new Phillies sweatshirt on, saying that they're going to be, you know, like, oh, wait a minute. If you're homeless, I'd be no problem helping out. I really do. But you can't be wearing that. Like, seriously, you can't be wearing that. Like,
my man showing up with his Chase Utley jersey.
Exactly. Like, come on now. I mean, seriously, right over here by the convention center in Atlantic City, I'm like, wait a minute. That's not going to get you. And nobody was helping them. I mean, I think that jersey had a lot to do with it. But anyway, so it's all Phillies tonight. I mean, it'll be the Yankees. It'll be the Phillies. Even your boy Embiid's going to play tonight. Hopefully, the plantar fascia. I hope it's better. I really do. I sent him a get well card. And so, you know, we'll see how that goes. But it's all baseball centric here in the book, and obviously whatever Penn State does today.
Well, I can assure you Death Valley, LSU, the only thing they care about is college football and college baseball. Let's talk about them. Ole Miss, LSU. So this is a legit national title contender, being Ole Miss. You didn't think it coming into the season. They're sitting 7. They're sitting undefeated at 7-0. They sit atop the SEC West with the Bama loss at Tennessee last week, Michael. This is a tremendous showdown. Again, first 7-0 start for Ole Miss since 1962. This number flipped. This number opened Ole Miss a point to 2-point favorites. It's now LSU laying 1. Most shops, you got a 1.5 at a couple. If you can pinpoint what LSU is as a team, please help me out, because I'd like to know. They were a no-show against Tennessee, as I mentioned. They barely beat Auburn, who's one-dimensional. They were great against Mississippi State, who's ranked. They were great against Florida at the Swamp last week. Again, if you can figure out this LSU team, and then Ole Miss, a devastating run game, relentless tempo. They even play faster than Tennessee. You know, that's the concerted part of their offense is running the football this year with Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss.
Well, it's the third best rushing team in the nation. You know, they can run. It's the best rushing team in the Southeast Conference. And so they put a lot of pressure on you on the ground. They spread you out. You know, it's that offense that, you know, they take advantage of how many are in the box, how many aren't in the box, and are able to play fast, not get lined up, get you tired. And when a defense is tired, you can get there. I mean, yards per play, they're 17th in the nation. I mean, they can move the football. Now, I don't know how good they are on defense, right? I mean, Auburn, before that thunderstorm, Auburn was making a comeback in that game, and then we got the thunderstorm and everybody got to rest, and then Mississippi kind of put the game away. I thought the Kentucky game, to me, they were very fortunate. Kentucky's defense was playing well in that game, and Kentucky moved the ball. Levis turned it over twice. Bad turnovers, kind of got stripped of the ball in the pocket. This, to me, I think it's going to be a hard game for Mississippi to go in there, to run the ball in the swamp, to be able to handle that, and to be able to handle the elements and still be effective. And I think Brian Kelly as a head coach in these type of situations, I think what happened in Florida was really going to be something that helps him moving forward. So I'm surprised this number shifted to Mississippi. Obviously, you know, Mississippi's the public team here. But I kind of like – I still think LSU at home is going to be a tough out. I really do.
I don't disagree with you. I called Ole Miss a legit national title contender, but let's take a look at the defense. 2 weeks ago, Vandy, Michael Lombardi, Vanderbilt dropped 28 on them.
That's a close game.
Absolutely.
Now. I mean, I think at halftime, that was a close game. That wasn't one of those where, oh, my gosh, you know, they're just destroying them. That's my point. I think there's that Kentucky game just keeps coming back in my head. Like, they were not great against Kentucky, and maybe it was an off day for them. I don't know. But to me, I felt like that Kentucky had control, and all they needed was to make that play at the end, and Levis turned it over when he was running out of the pocket and got the first down. The ball strips out, and he fumbles it.
Yeah, and I also mentioned the one-dimensional Auburn offense. They dropped 34 on Ole Miss last week. So, again, that concerns you. Insert LSU, Jaden Daniels, Josh Williams. They can run the football. This is an interesting number with it flipping. Ole Miss, we talked about going through zero during the break, kind of a psychological thing with bettors. Ole Miss open 1-2, LSU laying 1.5, so the bettors all over LSU there at Death Valley today.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense. I mean, I think the public thinks Mississippi is on this roll and they're going to be tough to play, but I do think LSU at home. I mean, if you're giving me point, now it's down to 1.5. You know, now it just shifted just a little bit here. It was 2 for a while. If you're going to give me Mississippi in points, you're going to give me LSU home with points, I think I'll take it.
Okay. Let's get to Texas. You know, it's interesting because Texas can be one of those teams that's publicly bet, but this is a fascinating movement here. So, again, Texas at Oklahoma State. This is a 2011 matchup. How about 11 Oklahoma State, a 6-point dog to Texas? Now, this number opened 1, and I'll tell you why. This number opened 1 immediately got bet up to 3.5 to 4 with Texas laying it on the road in Stillwater. The reason, Spencer Sanders. You know, Mike Gundy's been very covert about the information with this fourth-year starter and Spencer Sanders, who was banged up in the loss against TCU. My assumption is he's not going to play looking at that number of 6, Michael, but that's the reason. Yeah. And Texas is laying so much on the road here.
Right. And look, let's face it. When you take away Sanders, this is the fourth best scoring offense in college football. You know, and let's say this. I mean, they beat Texas Tech. That was a hard game. They're in the TCU game. It goes to overtime. They had control of that game. They beat a good Baylor team. I mean, this is a really seasoned Oklahoma State team that unfortunately got beat late in the game by TCU. And if they don't have Sanders, that, to me, you know, is going to affect the 20th best passing offense in college football. So they're going to have to try to win this game. I mean, look, let's face it. I think this Texas team, I think when Texas plays in a tough place, in a tough environment against a tough-minded team, I think they're going to struggle. I really do. I don't see Texas as a tough team. Last week against Iowa State, did you watch that, Patrick? I mean, Iowa State's got a chance to win the game. They're driving down there to win the game, and they just don't execute at the right time. Now, maybe you could say, well, that's Texas being Texas. I don't know about that. You know, I think this Texas team, yeah, they've got a great quarterback, and Quinn Ewers is tremendous, and he could be a high pick, but I don't know how tough and in physical Texas is going to be playing in a really difficult environment.
A couple things based on what you said. One, investors were quick to hit that 1-2 opener. So, again, we're sitting 6. To me, that says the quarterback there, Oklahoma State, Spencer Sanders, isn't going to play. If he doesn't play, it's going to be Gunnar Gundy. Does that name sound familiar? It's the freshman son of coach Mike Gundy. He's only thrown 20 passes. We don't have information about Gunnar Gundy, the lefty. I will say this about Oklahoma State. Will there be a letdown? You nailed it, Michael. They should have beat TCU. TCU had to score 14 in the fourth to force overtime. So Oklahoma State may be a little bit of emotional letdown. Also, Spencer Sanders is their emotional leader, the senior at quarterback there. Quinn Ewers has been awesome since his return at Oklahoma. 7 touchdown passes combined, Oklahoma, Iowa State. And Bijan Robinson may be the best running back in all of college football, 10 touchdowns. He can also catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't trust the head coach in this spot, and I don't trust Texas in this spot.
I
said all of that to say I do like Oklahoma State.
And you left one thing out on the road. Last time they went to Lubbock, they got beat in overtime, right? They lost to Texas Tech out there. You know, like, this proves your point and my point about the coach, about the program, and who they are. I think we're going to learn a lot. I don't think they're anywhere near where some of these teams. I know they killed Oklahoma, but we know Oklahoma isn't a great team either. Oklahoma State is a much better team, and I think we underestimate Gundy. I think we underestimate his skill as a coach. I think he's really good, and I think his teams play. They play different. Last year they were defensively. This year they're more offensively. But they find a way to play a complete game against good teams.
Because of those variables, I like Oklahoma State with the 6, obviously. I think it's an overreaction. Even as much as I just jock Spencer Sanders, he's been up and down in his career as a starter there at Stillwater. I think 6 is an overreaction with Texas laying it on the road and Sarkisian at the helm. Let's just put it this way. Lombardi Line's not a huge fan of Steve Sarkisian. Look
no,
at he's laughing.
Not at all. If you want to play him, go ahead. Please feel free. Go ahead. You got it.
Nobody. We fade him here on the Lombardi Line. Nobody does the SEC better than Jick Jack. Carl Johnson's going to join us next.
listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any NHL game. If all the parlay legs hit except one, you're going to get your stake back and free bets up to $25. So again, a four-game parlay, all hit except one, $25 coming back your way. Place a one-game parlay wager over at BetMGM. You got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have a gambling issue. Promotional offer not available. Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. Hope you're having a nice weekend. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. A huge week 8 in college football. He's Michael Lombardi, hanging out at the Borgata there in Atlantic City. We now head down to the Bayou and say hi to our guy, Carl Johnson. He runs the race and sports book there. We were just joking. The conversation off the air is probably better than the conversation on the air, but we continue. Beau Rivage, of course, there, Carl Johnson. What's cracking, Carl? How are we feeling this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. A beautiful day here. I mean, I think all you guys are enjoying good weather. Big day for us today. A lot of stuff going on. We're ready for it.
Is the bay nice and smooth for shrimping today, Carl?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's somewhere out there, Mike, probably 2-3 miles, thinking about, you know, all of today's action and how he can teach us all kind of good stuff.
I want to get his PowerPoint on coverages. I really want to learn how he could help Nick Saban improve that coverage game. I really want to wait for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I got to go back now and rewatch the movie Forrest Gump.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I think you do. For more information as far as the inside jokes, make sure you check out one more podcast. Okay, we were just talking about Ole Miss LSU. This is fascinating, Carl. You know, most sports bettors that are new to it don't realize a lot of these numbers can be regional. I've got LSU laying a point. Where are you sitting down in the Bayou there?
Yeah, so, you know, I know that a lot of shops opened here, Ole Miss. I think they opened one and a half in some shops. You know, with us being a regional thing, you know, we waited. We opened LSU 1.5 at 66.5, and right now we're at LSU 1 and 64.5.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, as you look at this game, and, you know, obviously you're very close to Baton Rouge and the whole program there. I mean, can you explain the inconsistencies that we've seen with LSU? Is it just a lack of talent? Is it Jalen Daniels, the quarterback? Where do you see the problems? Because to me, when you look at their numbers aren't as bad as their inconsistencies show up. Are we going to get the Florida team, the Mississippi State team, right, or are we going to get the Tennessee team?
Yeah, you know, and I think we talked about that early on in the year. You know, I think one thing that this team hasn't been able to do is establish who they are, what they do. You know, different weeks of the year, they'll run the football real good. Different weeks of the year, they won't. I think it's an identity thing. I think it's very important for these teams to have some type of identity of how they play the game, and I don't think LSU's done that this year.
Props to you, Carl, with that opener. You nailed it, right? So you opened, 1.5 with LSU laying it, and you're sitting 1. So Carl closer with his opener than most shops as we talk to our buddy Carl Johnson. Of course, Mississippi State, Alabama. I'm seeing most shops sitting Bama laying 21. How about you, Carl?
Yeah, we opened there, and we're sitting there 21 and 61. You know, Alabama getting 70% of the money, 60% of the tickets. This is going to be a bounce back game for them. But, you know, you look across the field, you got Mike Leach. I mean, that's a good football team over there. This is going to be a big game for both of these teams. You know, it should be interesting, and I can't wait to see how Alabama responds here.
Carl, where are you on Alabama's defense? We had a conversation in the A block today about how disappointed we were in terms of where they are. And when then you look at the points that they've allowed, I mean, they give up 18 points a game. It doesn't sound like a lot. But, you know, when you have a couple easy games on your schedule that you shut out the opponent, Louisiana Monroe and such, you know, then it becomes a lot different. Mercer and all those teams. But to me, I don't get the sense that their passing defense, and maybe Stevie needs to come in and help, 32nd in the nation. I mean, this could play into Mike Leach's strength, right?
Absolutely, you know, and I agree. Look, this is not the Alabama defensive unit that we've seen in the past, statistically wise. I don't know what they were very vulnerable to Tennessee, but I think even Nick himself, you know, give Tennessee credit a little bit in that game there, because they knew what Alabama was trying to do against them, and they were able to execute. Now, you know, that's two good football teams there, and I think the team that won the game just executed on both ends better.
Hey, Michael exactly. Lombardi, if I told you that Jimbo Fisher would have a worse record than South Carolina right now before the season started, remember, Texas A&M is everybody's darling. It wouldn't have surprised you. You've been ahead of the curve on that guy, trust me. No, Texas I mean, A&M, Carl. Go ahead, please.
That's a comedy. That to me is one of the great. That's one of the great tricks of all time. I mean that Jimbo Fisher is kind of a little bit like Kaiser Sose. He's kind of like, you know, nobody knows really where it is, and everybody still buys it, but they never watch the game. They never watch his offense.
He's hoodwinked him at College Station. Yeah. Kaiser Sose is a perfect analogy. Okay, Texas A&M, South Carolina. A&M, I got laying 3. These are two teams. You're going to have a low total, Carl. You can let us know what you have as far as the over-under. Two teams that struggle to throw the football. I mean, it's not going to be an aesthetically pleasing game. Where are you sitting with A&M and South Carolina?
Yeah, we opened at 3.5, 45. Right now we're at 3-45. And to be honest with you, I agree. I think that total, you know, I was thinking that total ought to be 43.5, 44 maybe. But interesting, so this is a sharp play for the week. You know, they jumped on South Carolina here. South Carolina's getting, and they're still on them. South Carolina's getting 60% of the money, 28% ticket count.
I mean, South Carolina's, you know, going against the 111. I don't know how they're going to handle it. They're going against the 111 offense in the nation. I mean, they've got to be careful here. The 97th passing offense in the nation, too. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be a huge challenge for South Carolina's defense to see if they can slow them down. I mean, you know, look, I got to give Beamer credit. He's done a really nice job with his team. You know, going into Kentucky, I thought they would give Kentucky trouble. They held Kentucky to 14 points. They hurt. They injured the quarterback. They rushed them. I think getting South Carolina at home in this game with points, to me, is a heck of a thing.
You know, I don't think – go ahead, Carl, please.
Yeah, no, I was just going to – you know, I agree. I think anytime an SEC school gets points at homes, it's very valuable.
This won't surprise Michael Lombardi. How about a Beamer team that excels in special teams? And that's the edge for South Carolina today. They've been stellar with the specials. How about Syracuse and Clemson? I've got 14. Now I've got a 13.5 popping up at one shop, and I've got a 14.5 popping up. Where are you with this matchup, Syracuse-Clemson, Carl?
Yeah, so we opened here 13.5, 49.5. We are at 14-50. Syracuse getting some bets here. Syracuse has got 50% of the money, 55% of the tickets here.
Yeah, I mean, look, Syracuse is no joke, Carl. I know it's, you know, everybody thinks they've kind of padded their record with kind of cupcakes, but they really haven't. I mean, they beat Purdue. It was a close game. It was a fun game. I mean, they beat North Carolina State last week. I know they didn't have their quarterback, but still, North Carolina State's a good team. Yep. And they were able to win that game. This defense for Syracuse today, we're going to find out how good they are. And if they cover this 14, it's going to be because their defense is as good as the numbers say they are.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think if their defense plays well, I kind of lean to the under on this total also.
Carl, Texas Oak State, are you up to 6? And do you think it's an overreaction? Yes, I know that number probably alludes to the fact that Oak State quarterback Spencer Sanders isn't going to play. What's your take on this one? Where's your number?
Yeah, opened at 6-60.5. The total's ticked down to 58.5, and right now we're still at Texas -6. Oklahoma State getting bet here, 52% of the money, and the ticket count is big in their favor at 70%.
Okay,
yeah,
Carl.
I think that number's all relative to the quarterback. There's no way Texas is a 6-point favorite over Oklahoma State in Stillwater based on what happened in Lubbock. You know, just what happened in Lubbock. You know, but I think you got to be careful if you're playing this, because who's playing quarterback can ultimately tip the game. And this number's telling you it's not going to be Sanders.
100%. Yeah. Totally agree. Quickly, Carl, Kansas State TCU. We should talk about TCU as one of the surprises of the season. Where are you sitting on that number there, TCU?
Yeah, good game here. TCU opened 3.5, 54.5, and we're right where we started. 3.5, 54.5. Kansas State getting the money. TCU getting the ticket count.
What's your best bet today? What do you like the most today before you tell us what's on the menu?
You know, I like Ole Miss today, Mike.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah, I just do. This is probably the best shape that Lane's been in. You know, he's in control of his own destiny here in the SEC. I like Ole Miss.
Okay, we got to get it quick. What's on the menu, Carl?
I am going to do a beef brisket today, boys. Beef brisket and baked beans.
Carl Johnson, Beau Rivage, Biloxi, Mississippi. You're the best. We come back.
Thanks, Carl.
Of course, Matt Eumanns joins us.